Tons of Gold. Written by Grant Hyde and read by Alan King. They moved at a slow jog, in single file, weaving along the trail in silence. Burnham was in the lead and the islanders did not mind this. They knew he was a supreme hunter. Some had seen him in action, while others had heard the tale of their compatriot's first encounter with the New Hollander. They knew he could track a giant kangaroo, snakes, lizards and even crocodiles. Now he stopped occasionally, checked the tracks in the sand or a broken branch and sniffed at the air. Their skin had just dried from their swim when Burnham held up his hand and the men came to a halt behind him. He could sense something. There was a slight bend in the path ahead and he slowly edged around it to take a look. Savesi could see their scout relax, then he gestured them forward with his hand. There on the path was a large, bearded man with only one arm. He knelt on the sand with his head bowed. There was a slick morass of blood and urine about, and the stench of his empty bowels surrounded him. Savesi looked at Hickey.
"That's the last of the traps. We are very close to the fort now. We must be careful not to reveal ourselves."
The party had been warned of the pits and the other traps and had been given their precise locations. Now they were through them without incident. They breathed a sigh of relief. Savesi knew there would be sentries posted. They needed to be dealt with first. He looked at Burnham, then at Wes, and lifted his brow. These two were faster and lighter of foot than any of the others. Burnham held a shiny new dagger and his large boomerang, while Wes also carried a knife as well as a strangling cord. A rope about 2 feet long with a large stone attached to each end. It could be used to choke a victim or to whip out an adversary's eye. It was a simple but dangerous weapon. Hickey grunted at Wes.
"Remember, kill them. Quick, no noise, or the Pelengi will bring their guns."
The little man gave a menacing grin. He'd become quite a warrior since his role in the defeat of the false king. He was famous throughout the islands for his historic rescue of the royal, when he routed the king's navy just as the ship was all but lost. Tonight was yet another instalment in his lifelong education as a warrior. The two men crept out into the darkness, Burnham directing his apprentice with hand signals and the calls of nightbirds. They moved out in opposite directions in a wide arc and then slowly zigzagged their way back towards the fort. Wes spotted his man first. He was puffing on a tobacco pipe, the smoke hanging above him like a stinking fog. He sat with his back to a coconut tree, musket across his lap, half dozing. Wes mimicked Burnham's night owl, signalling that he had found his quarry. There was a call in return. Wes skirted to the Dutchman's rear flank and emerged 10 yards behind him and slowly crept forwards. 10 yards. 5. His mouth was dry, his heart pumping with adrenaline. He had not killed a man like this before, especially not a white man. The sailor was a big fellow, taller than Wes, with a big barrel chest. He would be strong, thought the smaller Tongan. Wes had been small compared to his friends, always the one who got bullied or beaten, but that had made him tough. He would never give in. If the bigger boys wanted to fight him, he would make them earn their victory. In the end, they had left him alone, but all the practice had taught him well. He was almost behind the tree now, flat on his elbows and stomach, and he could smell the damp soil near his face. He took a deep breath and steadied himself.
"Move quickly and without a sound,"
Wes thought, as he lifted himself onto his hands and knees. But just as he was about to pounce, the sailor stirred,